I'm Arian, and I'm voicing James Smith.
It's Gaza and Shaquille, and I will be voicing Robert Mulligan.
I'm Edric, and I will be Harper Lee.
Hello everyone, and thank you for tuning in to The Golden Reel, where we talk about everything from the golden age of cinema. My name is James Smith, and today we'll be discussing the 1962 film To Kill a Mockingbird, particularly examining the ethical and moral aspects of the film set in the fictional town of Macomb, Alabama in the 1930s, revolves around the lives of Scout and Jem Finch, the children of the lawyer Atticus Finch, and his pursuit to achieve justice for a colored man accused of raping a Caucasian woman amidst the heavily pro-segregation sentiments of the time. This is a very special episode, perhaps our most, as we have the pleasure of inviting two truly remarkable titans of literature and film.
Hello everyone, my name is Harper Lee, the author.
It's such an honor to be featured on this podcast.
Hello everybody, I'm Robert Mulligan, the director of the film.
Thank you both so much for coming on the show today. Miss Lee, as we all know, To Kill a Mockingbird was a massive cultural phenomenon when it was released in the 1960s, with social commentaries that up to that point in time were arguably utterly unheard of to the general public. In addition, it also gave us several examples of how our cultural contexts affect the way we make decisions from an ethical and moral point of view. This was then made even further popular en masse through your adaptation, Mr. Mulligan, and fully explored Miss Lee's vision for the significance of the narrative. I think it best to provide some background of the narrative. Miss Lee, could you please detail your childhood memories and its relevance to the story?
Oh, certainly. I took inspiration from my childhood home in Monroeville, Alabama during the 1930s. When I was a young girl, I was a tomboy and a precocious reader, so I wrote Scout after myself. Dill, the young boy who accompanies Scout and Jem in their adventures over Macomb County, is based on my one close childhood friend. When I wrote The Three Children, I wanted to capture that childhood innocence that we once had, playing together in the slow town. My father was a lawyer who served as a defense counsel for two black men accused of murdering a white storekeeper, on which I based Tom Robinson and Atticus Finch.
Another thing that I also want to really focus on is with regards to the filmmaking itself. Mr. Mulligan, how exactly did you go about ensuring the novel is authentically adapted and that the themes are completely preserved on screen?
Unlike other directors, though Technicolor film was very prominent in the 60s, I believe that the stark black and white photography here could amplify substance over style, and that the relevance of the themes could be wholly expressed without distraction of Technicolor. This color palette I chose, black and white, represents the division of society between those who colored and those who are not, and intensifies the drama of the film, where Gregory Peck's facial expressions could not be all the more clear and vivid. A final note to mention about this is that the outdatedness of the monochrome palette is to tell a story of the past, taking place in the Great Depression and told from an older scout's memory.
That is certainly very striking and prominent throughout the film. It really conveys the entirety of the story in a very raw and original manner, whilst remaining true to the original narrative. I have a selection of scenes which I found very striking and important in terms of filmmaking and ethical choices, which you both could provide some commentary on. To begin with, let's talk about the lynch mob scene.
The lynch mob scene is where Atticus is guarding the cell of Tom Robinson to make sure no lynch mob gets to him. It's a tense scene at first, contrasting with the slow and pleasant nature of Macomb County. When the children arrive, this scene is where the children are first exposed to the true dark and grim world.
Absolutely.
Jam, the biggest member of the children, who usually takes on the leader responsibility, stands several feet shorter than his father, who is really the only line of defense against the lynch mob.
Absolutely.
I tried to really drive this message home by making the overall lighting of the scene in the film really dark, with the only source of light shining on Atticus. It was also done as a contrast to the rest of the film, where Macomb is lit very brightly. As I mentioned before, Atticus is the only one with light in this scene, and Harper also talked about how Atticus was the last line of defense against the lynch mob, and this was also my aim with this lighting.
Instead of cowering back, Scout decides to take matters into her own hands and directly involve herself with the mob, much to her father's discontent.
Oh, yeah.
She doesn't fully understand the situation at hand, but she does understand that the same people in the lynch mob who have come to do something bad are the same people she grew up with in the town of Macomb County. This contrast between childlike innocence, curiosity, and an innate feeling of justice and determining what is right and wrong, as everybody feels, as children, is one of the most powerful and natural emotions. She innately understands that they have come to do something morally wrong and wants to put a stop to it. Another great scene that I want to talk about with you two is the courtroom scene. When I watch it, I feel a sense of tension and uncertainty permeating the air of the courtroom.
Mm-hmm.
The gripping sequence of the trial is dense and complete with all the major themes of the film and novel: the corruption of the American legal system, coexistence of good and evil, as well as the very apparent endemic racism and segregation of the time. One particular scene in the courtroom sequence is Mayella's scene. The extreme close-ups and cuts between Mayella and Atticus are very notable, contrasting each other with Mayella's uncertainty and nervousness with Atticus' stern and reserved countenance. The diverse range of long shots to express the grandeur of the scale and loftiness of the courtroom,
Oh, yeah.
The medium shots to establish a close connection between the audience and the persecutor in defense, as well as the aforementioned close-ups, really color the scene with a tone of grave importance.
Speaking about the film's theme, this trial obviously targets the innocent Tom Robinson, but Atticus uses this trial as a vehicle to address the prejudice and bigotry in Macomb County. Ultimately, Atticus loses the case and Tom is found guilty, with the exposition of the film illuminating and foreshadowing how a Macomb jury comprised only of white men would never acquit a black man accused of raping a white woman. Therefore, despite hope, the audience knows Atticus will lose this case. Due to this, I have decided to allocate the tension in this scene elsewhere, in Atticus's powerful disassembling of the testimonies of Mayella and Mr. Ewell. Meanwhile, Tom Robinson symbolizes one of the film's mockingbirds in a sense, an exemplary character of good and innocence destroyed by the cruelty of others. He is the film's most tragic character, an honest and hardworking man, with his most fatal crime not being raping Mayella, but having the compassion to feel sorry for her.
Another important aspect that I want to mention is that this trial also marks the first on-screen appearances of Tom Robinson and Mayella, two characters who have been confronted with evil. Noted by Atticus, Mayella is a victim of cruel poverty and ignorance, her lonely existence consisting of her father, Robert Ewell, abusing her and looking after her younger siblings, while struggling through abject poverty.
Absolutely.
Notwithstanding, she cannot join other innocent mockingbirds of the narrative due to the misery she unfairly inflicted upon Tom. And that makes us wonder if aggressors can be considered victims of society.
The last scene I want to talk about is Boo Radley's final fight and reveal.
As the story progresses, Scout's first contact with evil is through the lens of racial prejudice. However, throughout the story, we are slowly introduced to the character of Boo Radley, the mysterious neighbor that never sets foot outside of his house. He is first told through rumors among the county and is depicted as a frightening man who is completely insane.
Yes.
Boo is left to the imaginations of the three kids, who are scared of him,
absolutely,
make up stories about him, and try to sneak into his house. But Atticus, being the righteous man that he is, always tells them that trying on his skin could be a way to understand him.
In the midst of a frantic scuffle, numerous cuts convey the intensity of the moment. As Boo Radley is finally revealed, he emerges shrouded in darkness, symbolizing the isolation imposed upon him by society, purposely made to be frightening. This makes the audience treat him as an unseen monster, equally as Macomb had done. A close-up on Boo Radley's and Scout's faces captures the poignant moment when their gazes meet, highlighting his relegation to the shadows and the periphery of society. A stringing non-diegetic sound here underscores the tension, heightening the emotional impact of the scene. The swing bit also employs clever background and foreground usage to add depth and complexity to the setting. Moments of silence punctuate the narrative, emphasizing the gravity of the situation. The sheriff also faces the momentous decision of not publicizing Boo Radley's involvement in the death of Bob Ewell in the scene. In a way, he is trying on Boo Radley's skin, as mentioned previously, by seeing how the world treats him from his point of view. This could be considered perhaps the most significant moral choice in this film.
It's also the time Scout finally sees Boo Radley for who he truly is. In a way, trying on his skin as Atticus taught her.
Right.
He has had to endure his whole life the constant exclusion and prejudice from a society that rejects differences, similar to what we saw Tom Robinson and the rest of the black community have to go through. Despite all of this isolation, Boo Radley proves himself to be a good man by saving the children from Bob Ewell.
What interesting.
Scout's moral development also peaked when equating the subjecting of Boo to the horrors of a public prosecution to the killing of a mockingbird. Here, she recognizes the depraved life Arthur has endured, seeing the world through his eyes and acknowledging the sinful exposure of the world, an innocent mockingbird whose life has been deprived due to the evils of Macomb. Her experiences from Atticus's lessons of morality to the trial of Tom Robinson led to this enriching and gripping moment. Arthur has become human to her, and also proves the film's grasp on humanity that goodness can manifest in unexpected and powerful forms, just like evil can.
I'd just like to thank you both, not only for your appearance today, but the spirited and thoroughly engaging discussion that we were able to have.
It It's been a wonderful discussion.
It was absolutely wonderful being here.
I would also like to thank the audience and hope that you may also have been able to learn something today. Have a good day, everyone. Goodbye.